And the reason I say that is because Israel, many Israelites, not all of them, but many Israelites were expecting a certain kind of king. They were expecting a king probably not to be born in a stable. They were not probably expecting him to die on a cross. They were certainly not expecting him to be what Jesus was. They were expecting something different. And I think that's part of the reason that they missed him. And I think that goes for us today. Sometimes we expect Jesus to be something different, and then we can easily miss what he really comes to be in our lives. See, the Jews, many of the Jews thought that Jesus was going to come and restore them to like the time of David, where they were prominent and strong, and Jesus gave them, or God gave them victory over all their enemies, and they were a, kind of a ruling nation. They were thinking in earthly terms. They were thinking about how God could come and restore them back to the way things were. They kind of wanted to go back. Jesus had different plans than that. God had different plans than that. God was saying, no, I didn't just come to restore you. I actually came to bring everybody into my chosen people. Everyone. Now, just for a minute, let's put ourselves in the shoes of the Jews. That wasn't supposed to be clever. It's just we're gonna put ourselves in their shoes, because this would have been difficult news. The Jews were not always treated very well, and they were not always they were going through some hard times, and they didn't have that kind of strength that they had had in the past. And God had promised them so many beautiful things, and they were expecting that. But what they were hoping for was that they would be high and lifted up. And then Jesus comes and says, no, I want to make all of these other people that have been our enemies and been outside of the chosen people, I want to bring them all in. And so if you think about why Jesus was hung on a cross and why Easter comes down the road, part of the reason is Jesus messed with the system. Jesus didn't leave it alone. He didn't do what people expected him to do. And he kind of said, I've got something so much better. I'm not just going to restore your castles and kingdoms and strength. I'm going to give you eternal life. And I'm going to not just give it to you. I'm going to give it to everyone. But have you ever seen someone get rewarded for something they didn't deserve? Have you ever worked really hard on something with someone else, and then they got just as much credit as you, and you know you did more of the work? Have you ever, seen this kind of injustice? Well, some people were thinking, it's not fair. It's not fair. Why do they get the same reward as us? See, Israel was, many of them were looking for the wrong thing. They weren't waiting for an infant. They're expecting a king. Most expected a military ruler to save them and destroy their enemies and restore Israel to its former glory. And then some of them were likely looking for him to be born in some palace, not in a stable. That's one of the things we celebrate, is Jesus' humble birth. It's such an interesting story, because you would think the God of the universe would be born in some fancy stable with a rich family or a king, you know, that kind of thing. But no, he was born to shepherd people in a stable, almost completely not God-like. And yet it is. They were likely expecting him to ride in on a white horse, but instead, later on in his life, he would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. They were probably expecting him to sit on a throne, and certainly not to hang on a cross. The whole New Testament is this long explanation to those who were living in that time about how this Jesus who died on a cross is the Messiah. The whole book of Revelation, that's the whole point of it, by the way. This crazy book that some people are scared to read, it's all about how this king of the Jews, Jesus, who died for their sins, could be the long-awaited Messiah. But so many people missed him. And so how does Jesus come in their lives? And he comes in the same way in our lives. See, this Christmas, are you prepared for Jesus to arrive as Messiah? He came to set us free, not from military oppression or governments and, you know, taxes and all those things that we would love for Jesus to wipe away and fix. And there's all kinds of things I wish that God would sometimes do in this world, but he didn't come necessarily for those things, not even pain or even things like hunger and disease, although he uses the people of God to work good in those situations. But he came to set us free from something so much bigger, and that's sin, this problem of evil that existed since man sinned way back in the beginning. And that was his whole purpose and plan. He came with a much bigger picture than just to restore us. If Jesus just came to make us comfortable, it's a small thing, but he didn't. He came to give us so much more. Romans 5 says, so just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, what Jesus comes to be in our lives is our Savior. He comes to set us free from sin and death. And sometimes we're tempted to say, well, I don't need that. I'm all good. But it's something deep within us that we can't cure on our own strength. Even no matter how good we try to be, there's a part of us that we need Jesus to set us free from. See, without Jesus, sin rules in our lives, no matter how hard. And I think if we're all honest with ourselves, there's a part of us that is all about me first and putting myself as the ruler of my own life. See, if you go back in the Bible and you think about original sin, where did sin come from? It's the desire to be the boss. It's desire to be Lord. It's the desire to be your own Savior. It's the desire to be first. And yet God wants us to put him in that place. And so if you want to experience Jesus this Christmas, you recognize him as Messiah. We don't want to be unprepared. You know, this is a story that has been around for thousands of years. Don't miss it this year. We admit that we need him. That's the first step to a relationship with God, is to admit that we need his saving grace. We place our hope in him. We trust in him, this little baby born in a manger. We put our faith in him. And are you prepared, second of all, that this Christmas Jesus comes as king? I think this might be the tougher one sometimes, especially in our culture and world, that he didn't just come to be a royal figurehead. You know, we have a king in England that we kind of honor and respect to a degree, but he's a figurehead, right? We are now talking about a king that wants to be the literal king and ruler of our lives. But again, our culture says, no, don't let anyone rule you. You be in charge of you. But that's taking the crown and putting it on our own heads, whereas Jesus came and said, I want you to put the crown on mine. And he expects to be first in our allegiance. He expects to be our king. And kings are to be worshipped. The difference is that Jesus actually deserves your worship because of his grace and what he would do for us on the cross. And so the question this Christmas is, are you prepared to accept Jesus as king? Will you bow down before him this Christmas and honor him for what he has done in our lives? And the third thing he does is he comes as Lord. He comes as Lord. As our king and as our Lord, Jesus expects us to be obedient to him. Now, here's the thing. These things might sound like this, like Israel, they might sound like not what we were hoping for. We kind of think, I want Jesus in my life to be like this buddy who just makes my life a little better, but don't tell me what to do. In fact, many theologians and experts today are saying kind of the ruling narrative in our world, as far as religion goes, is that people want a kingdom. They want everything God has to offer without a king. They don't want a ruler. They don't want to be told what to do. But hey, I'm pretty sure every one of us from the time we're little, nobody likes to be told what to do, right? I don't know about you, but I never liked to be told what to do. And so we struggle and we wrestle with this sometimes. But Jesus comes as Lord and he expects our obedience, but not obedience out of force. That's the thing. He'll never force you to be obedient. What he wants you to realize is that all of God's guidelines and rules and laws, everything in the Bible, all those things are meant for your good. They are meant to be a blessing and a joy and bring you peace and life, and they are a path to full life and to goodness. Everything God asks of us is for our good. In Hebrews it says, what kind of father would you know, not discipline his child. You know, we sometimes want Jesus to be this pretty figurehead, but he comes and he says, no, I'm here to take over. I actually want to take over all of your decision-making, all of those things. And again, I know you might be sitting here going, that doesn't seem good. And yet, if you will trust him, if you will give him that lead in your life, you will experience something that nothing else can give you in this life. And so, I speak to those who've been coming to church all of your lives, and maybe those who are here because you come once a year to the special service, or you're just here because your family dragged you in. I don't know why you're here today. But the beauty of it is that God gave us his son so that we could know him, and he comes into our lives. And yeah, he wants to take over, but the fruit of that, the result of that, that life and him being our king and our Lord and our Messiah, is that he gives us this eternal, beautiful life. Israel, unfortunately, some of them missed out on God's blessing because they couldn't see the greater gift. He didn't just come to restore their kingdom. He came to give them eternal life. He came to make them whole and holy and to set them free from sin and death. It is so much bigger than just a little add-on addition or a little, you know, advancement in earthly standing. And so are you prepared? John the Baptist told us in, we read in Luke, that preparation is about repentance. If we're going to be prepared to experience God this Christmas, we have to say, Lord, God, you are my King. You are my Savior. You're my Messiah. You're my Lord. Luke says he went into all the country around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so what John is saying is that we need to just turn to God, and we need to turn to God and repent and say, we need you, God. One of the most amazing and strong things you can do in this world is to let go of self-sufficiency and turn to God and say, I need you. And so are you prepared this Christmas to renew and once again, or maybe for the very first time, to receive him as your Lord? Henry Blackaby says this, that God's instruction for preparation is specific. It's repentance. This involves a complete change of mind, heart, will, and behavior toward him. He is Lord, and your life must be prepared to receive him as your Lord. Anything less is inadequate. Now, when you hear a word like repentance, you're like, what does that mean? It just means when we say to God, I'm going my way, I'm ruling my own life, and we turn and say, no, Lord, I want you to be the king of my life. I promise you, there is no better life than this life, where you have the wisdom of the creator of this world and this universe at your disposal, where you trust in this God who loved you enough to send his one and only son to live and even to die for our sins. This God who cares so much about you, he created you. Who better to fix all of our problems than our maker? And he desires that with you. So be careful this Christmas not to miss Jesus this year, not to just see all the pretty lights and sing the great songs, but miss what he really came to be. He didn't just come to be a special day. He came to be part of our lives, to be King and Lord and Messiah all year. We don't want to miss the opportunity to experience Jesus. I believe with all my heart, it's why I do this. It's why we all gather here. You can practice religion, but you can still miss God. Others can encounter God in worship in this incredible personal way, but it's possible to just remain unmoved if we don't invite him in. I don't want anyone to experience painful silence. I want us to experience the real joy of following Jesus. Religious activity can never substitute for a heart that is pure before Jesus, and it comes through that repentance. And repentance is as simple as saying, I need you, King Jesus. I recognize you as my King and Lord. So we pray as the psalmist did, that God will examine our hearts and reveal our need to repent. And so, this Christmas, this is not an easy word. I could have just given a fluffy, kind, simple, easy message that just said, hey, hope you have a great Christmas, and I do. But I'm telling you that life without God is missing out. And so we come to him this Christmas, humbly before the manger scene. I ask, are you prepared for a Messiah? Are you willing to admit that you need a saving grace? Are you prepared for a king? Because if you do, I'm not shortchanging this. I'm not telling you all that it's all just easy. When you accept him, he becomes your king and he will require your allegiance to him. And are you prepared for a Lord? And we confess, and then we go, and we sin no more in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite the team to come up as we think about being prepared for the Messiah. What's next, Jesse? What's that? Away in a manger. All right. And so let's not miss Jesus this year, and let's be prepared for him to come.